The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Brethren, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth his neighbor hath fulfilled the law. For thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is comprised in this word: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The love of our neighbor worketh no evil. Love, therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 8. At that time, when Jesus entered into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, a great tempest arose in the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awaked him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus saith to them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then rising up, he commanded the winds and the sea, and there came a great calm. But the men wondered, saying, What manner of man is this? For the winds and the sea obey him. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus saith to them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? These words are taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the Gospel that we read at Mass today reminds us of what kind of a relationship we ought to have with our Lord. Remember, God is all-loving, all-knowing, and all-powerful. He loves us with an infinite love. He knows what's best for us. He can do what's best for us. But unfortunately, very often, our sight about these particular facts is limited. And so it is important for us to look at things that happen in our lives from the right perspective. That is, from God's point of view, the divine perspective. Our Lord will sometimes send us great crosses that we may learn to bear them patiently, and that we may turn to Him and confidently ask for the grace to persevere. Even when things look so dark, when we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, when a situation seems so desperate that we nevertheless persevere. In order to persevere, though, we must have confidence. And I will go so far to say that without confidence in God, we cannot obtain salvation. There are two reasons why we must have confidence. Our human nature is so weak and susceptible to fear that if we lose confidence, we begin a downward spiritual spiral. And of course, this is a very bad thing. Therefore, confidence is a matter of spiritual necessity, that is, for the good of our souls. And the second reason why we must have confidence is because our Lord expects it. He demands it. He approves of confidence, and He disapproves of something called diffidence. Throughout the Gospels, we see that our Lord disapproves of something known as diffidence. Diffidence can be defined as a lack of trust. diffident people usually tend to be shy or timid and usually distrustful. Not always, but usually. Our Lord approves of confidence and disapproves of diffidence in relation to Him. In other words, from the divine perspective, our Lord appreciates when we have a firm trust in Him, and He disapproves when we are shy towards Him or even distrustful of Him. For example, in today's Gospel, our Lord was in the boat with the apostles and a great storm arose. And there is our Lord sleeping in the boat. The storm was so bad that these fishermen who spent their lives at sea, who no doubt weathered many a storm, were so afraid that they thought they were going to die. They thought all was lost. The apostles were caught in a storm with our Lord in the boat, and He was asleep. Discouraged and full of fear, the apostles waken our Lord and they exclaim to Him, "Lord, save us, we perish." Very often in life, as soon as things get a little rough, God appears to be sleeping. He appears to not even know that we are under duress, and we become discouraged. And our Lord asks us, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Do you remember the other incident when the apostles were in a boat, but this time without our Lord? And our Lord comes walking across the water toward the boat. And St. Peter, seeing our Lord, calls out to Him, "Lord, bid me to come to Thee upon the waters." And our Lord said, "Come." St. Peter swings his legs outside of the boat. He stands on the water, and he starts walking toward our Lord. But seeing the wind strong, he becomes discouraged. He loses confidence, and he begins to sink into the water. And he calls out to our Lord, "Lord, save me." And our Lord says, "O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" St. Peter was confident. He walked on water. He began to look around. He saw that the waters were rough. The wind was strong. He began to doubt. His confidence left him. Then he began to sink. That is what happens to us spiritually when we lose confidence. When we are so overcome by the temptations which we face, so fearful of them, and overcome by the hardships and the difficulties of this life, we begin to be afraid. We lose heart. And soon we begin to sink. That's the downward spiritual spiral that I mentioned earlier. Those are two examples of our Lord showing His disapproval of a lack of confidence. Confidence is defined as a firm belief, a trust, reliance, the fact of being or feeling certain, a trust in someone. And applying this to our own spiritual lives, trust in our Lord. Diffidence, however, if diffidence is left unguarded, is allowed to augment, can be so detrimental to the spiritual life. The devil, your adversary, is going to do everything possible to drag you down. If he cannot tempt you to sin, he will find another way. Diffidence is one of his tools. And it can be the result of many different things. For example, worry or anxiety. But here is the reason why it is so harmful. It causes one to lose peace of soul. It's almost like a vicious cycle. One becomes worried or anxious about a situation. Then the passion of sadness sets in. Sadness in and of itself is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, it is a good thing. And the reason is a good thing because God gave it to us. God can never give us something that is evil. Sadness is one of our passions, and our passions, when used according to right reason, are for our benefit. However, if we allow the passion of sadness to overcome us, to become inordinate, then it causes problems. So yes, if there is a stressful situation in the family or at work, sadness is a normal and a good reaction and is even justified. But we cannot let this sadness overcome us, for it can become all-consuming and make us overly worried and even anxious about the situation, unreasonably so. Then that anxiety and worry causes us to become more sad. And that sadness causes further anxiety. And thus you have the slow downward spiritual spiral that can be detrimental to the life of the soul. And you can get to a point where you are so entrenched in worry and sadness that you don't even know where to turn. So there are certain questions that we ought to ask ourselves when difficulties arise to see if indeed we place our confidence in our Lord. A cross is handed to us, some apparent evil. The question is, how do we react? Do we calmly turn to our Lord and ask for his assistance? Do we look at the cross that he has given us from his point of view, from the divine perspective? Do we say to ourselves, Lord, this is a very trying experience for me. However, I know that you would not give me this cross without giving me sufficient grace to carry it. I trust in your goodness. I may not know the reason for this trial, but I will allow you to draw good from it. I will not stand in your way and question it. Here are some situations over which people may become anxious and sad and thus lose trust in God and eventually lose peace of soul. Sickness, health issues, cancer, poverty. Why do I have to struggle to make ends meet? Temptations, family turmoil. Trouble with wayward children. The situation in the world. Wars and rumors of wars. Here is one that I often hear in my travels and the airports. The situation in our own country. When will politicians become God-fearing? Why the rampant immorality? How severely will God punish this country for its national crimes? The crime of abortion. Or the situation in the church. Why so few priests? Why all the confusion? My dear faithful, you know how when a child will run to his parents after he falls and cuts his knee open. He goes straight to mom and dad because he knows parents do everything for the children. And just as parents want their children to have confidence in them, to trust and to rely on them, so too does God want the same thing. If you are sad, pour out your heart to our Lord. If you are happy, thank Him for the many graces He has given you. If in sin, or you struggle with sin, show Him your spiritual wounds. If it seems that God delays in helping us, have a humble confidence rooted in resignation to His holy will. When we have confidence in our Lord, He is pleased. Showing Him confidence in our spiritual and material needs is a sign of our trust in His love for us. When we remember that God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all good, how can we not put our trust in Him? In other words, God knows what is best for us. And since He loves us with an infinite love, He will do what is best for us. He made the universe and keeps it in existence. If He can stand in the apostles' boat and command the wind and the seas to obey Him, surely He will look after our daily wants and needs. Sometimes when we are tempted to feel abandoned. We may feel as if God has left us to suffer all alone. But it is then, my dear friends, that we should have even greater confidence in the Sacred Heart. He never abandons His children. In each and every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we may have done to offend our Lord, is His little child. There is nothing we suffer of which He is not aware. There is nothing we suffer that He has not suffered Himself. Remember then that God is all-knowing and all-loving. And think of this in times of temptation. Reflect that He knows what is best for us. And that because He loves us with an infinite love, He will do only what is best for us. And after considering this, make an act of confidence. Pray the following prayer frequently, especially in times of trial. I place my trust in Thee, O Sacred Heart of Jesus. Once we learn to confidently place our trust in God, then we will know true peace of soul. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.